If you want to turn in your Bibles, in Romans chapter 16 tonight. Romans chapter 16. Came across this verse in some of my personal Bible reading and just really, Lord ministered to my heart and just felt like He wanted me to bring this tonight and as a way of encouraging you. And we find Romans chapter 16, the close of this letter, the last chapter. Paul is signing off. He's has some salutations here and basically is just encouraging all these people that have been a blessing to him. But then he comes to this section and verse number 17. Of course, you know, I was kidding with you the other day on Valentine's Day when I was going to mess with y'all about the holy kiss. Some of you fell for it and some of you looked very terrified when I said that. But we're not going to talk about that. But the next verse, Paul was dealing with some problems that were in the church. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren," in verse 17, "mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." These were people that were preaching false doctrine and teaching false doctrine. And we know how divisive that can be. And he says in verse 18, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly is for their own profit, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So people were being taken advantage of through these teachers of false doctrine. In verse 19, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And get verse 20 here, will be our text tonight. It says here, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we do come before you here this Wednesday night meeting. Lord, it's been a week that many of us have gone through some difficulties, some trials, and Lord, I know many are tired tonight from work, and I just pray you'd just give a spirit of encouragement tonight. Lord, you'd draw us closer to yourself during this Bible study time, and also, Lord, our prayer time that will be coming in just a moment. So, Lord, we commit this whole service to you. We ask that your spirit have complete leadership, and thank you for the testimonies of the divine appointments that you have been giving, and we pray that that would only increase in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, I call this Bible study, this message tonight, the two victories. The two victories. And why do I say that? Well, I want to talk about the two victories over Satan. It's interesting, the correlation here and the similarity that we find in another passage of Scripture where it talks about Satan being bruised, his head. Does anybody want to take a shot and tell me where we can find that? Genesis what? 3:15. Let's look at it. Hold your place in Romans. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And this is where, of course, we see Moses in the very beginning writing here. Prophesying, if you will, speaking of the coming Messiah, what he would do. And chapter 3, verse 15, we see here, "And I," this is a promise, God talking to the serpent. And because of his deceiving Adam and Eve, says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And what shall happen with her seed? It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, that is speaking of Calvary, because that is where the Lord Jesus Christ crushed the head of Satan. He destroyed the powers of darkness through the cross of Calvary. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that something that we can just shout about tonight and rejoice that there was great victory through our Lord Jesus Christ and what He did to our enemy, Satan? But then, Paul is wrapping up this letter here, but that's not what he's talking about when he says something very similar of what we see there in the Pentateuch, there in the book of Genesis. This time, it's worded a little differently. And I want us to just kind of pick apart these words here, and I'm not going to try to belabor these words, but I want us to see first of all here the very first part of verse 20. The God of peace. What a blessing to know that our God is a God of peace. Amen. In the midst of turmoil, we know that God is a God of peace. You know what this literally means, the sense of it, is talking about the God who gives peace. The God, not only who gives it, but praise God, who produces it. God Almighty produces peace. There is not going to be peace like God's peace found anywhere in the world. You know, the world tries to offer temporal peace, but boy, you're not going to find anything like the peace of God, which, as Paul would say to the Philippians, passeth all understanding. Can't even comprehend it. And those of you that have lost loved ones and been through very deep trials can testify of that peace of God that you don't even know how it works. You don't even know how it was there in a sense, but you know that you experienced it because God gives that type of peace. And Paul is encouraging this church that was dealing with some trials. There was some divisions. There were some people trying to cause division. But he assures them, look, and by the way, the author of dissension is Satan. Okay? He is the one that will try to sow discord among the brethren. And that's why it's so important, and I've been preaching on this, that's why it's so important that we always strive to encourage each other. To be unified in our spirit, even with differences, even with different backgrounds, whatever the case may be, Satan will try to divide us. And he won't stop until he succeeds. But there's a way that we can combat that, and I believe that's exactly what Paul was trying to tell this church. He said, I first of all want to tell you about the God of peace. And then secondly, look at the second part of that verse. He says, the God of peace shall bruise. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but again, this is talking about crushing, to destroy. That idea of bruising is bringing destruction upon Satan, and that's what we see here. He shall be bruised. That means his purposes, in a sense, will be thwarted. His plans will be brought to naught, and he will be stopped in his tracks. Because he shall be bruised. And you know, he has a plan to crush his victims. He wants to crush us. He's also called in the Bible the destroyer. He wants to destroy me. And he wants to destroy you. And he wants to destroy this church. And he wants to destroy anything he can. Because that's who he is. That's his character. He's the destroyer. And may we realize that God is saying here, he shall be bruised. This is something that will come to an ultimate point and to the pinnacle, and it will ultimately pass forever at the end of the age when Satan will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. But that hasn't happened yet. And so that's not the direct context of this, I don't believe, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. But then we see shall bruise. Shall bruise who? Again, it's Satan. Look at your verse. And shall bruise Satan. That is the destroyer. Now see, God is the God of peace. Satan is the destroyer of peace. God is, our God, the Lord Jesus, is the God of peace, but Satan is the disturber of peace. If he sees peace and unity in a family, Hey, he's not content until he can try to cause some division. He's not gonna settle until he gets some division. He gets some animosity. He can get some discord going, and then that's when he starts celebrating. So that's who he is. He's the opposer. And he is opposing everything we're wanting to do for God. You know, we seek to grow in grace. We seek to grow in our unity. We seek to grow in our burden for souls. And boy, he's going to try to oppose any of that that's done for Jesus Christ. He's an opposer. And we need to understand that. And I believe that's what Paul is telling this church. But then notice the next statement. Under your feet. Now, this is interesting statement, seeing as we would compare it to Genesis 3:15. And we know that the hill that he's speaking of in Genesis 3:15 is the Lord Jesus. Shall bruise the hill of the Lord Jesus as he goes upon Calvary and suffers that cruel death on Calvary's cross. All right? There's a similarity there, but this time he doesn't say under the feet of Jesus. He says under your feet. Under your feet. And so we need to take note on what is the difference here of what he's talking about. Well, we know that the one doing the bruising is who? God. Because look, that's what it says. And the God of peace, the God who provides peace, he shall bruise. But it's interesting that it says God shall bruise, but he said he's going to use our feet, the feet of the church, to do it. So we're talking about God shall do the bruising, but he says it's under our feet and not under God's feet. Because the Bible says that for the God of peace shall bruise Satan under whose feet? Tell me, church, under whose feet? Your feet, our feet, that's the feet of the church. Now, how's that going to look? How's that going to happen? Well, number one, I see that we can understand this in this realm. I want you to know, and we believe it from the Word of God, that Satan is restrained by Almighty God. Amen. He does not have full liberty. God gives him a little bit of liberty. We know that from the Word of God, don't we? We know that in the book of Job. Satan had a little bit of liberty there, didn't he? God gave him some time, and God allowed him. God just kind of pulled back, still with some reins. He didn't let him go full blast, but he let Satan come into Job's life and cause some major problems. But he kept him at rein. He kept him restrained, and then, of course, we know that he was allowed to come even to the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and tempt him for 40 days, and to tempt him in the time of temptation after he had fasted for 40 days. Satan came and tried to work over our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, tried to get him to give in, but he was given some room there to go, but of course his plans failed. They backfired. And Satan set him straight with the Word of God. He says, under your feet. That anytime you look at this in the Word of God, and even in the Old Testament, when someone's under your feet, you know what? That's a sign of victory. And David and Goliath, for instance, when the old giant was laying on the ground, David put that foot on there before he beheads him. You know, you see that in armies, that was a sign of victory, man. And also is a real insult to that person, because not only are they down and helpless and boy, they're done, they've lost, and you take your foot and put it on them. It's just another indication. And you know what the Word of God is telling right here? God's people, do you know we can do that with our feet through the power of God? It's not my power, but it is the power of God, because God says, I'm not going to do this with my feet. I'm going to do this with your feet. And I think that's pretty powerful. We can't do the bruising, but God wants to use our feet to do that. How does that look? Well, there, we see some restraint here. And can I say this? You guys, I don't know if you guys have ever witnessed. Has anybody ever been at someone's house? May have been a stranger, may even been a family member, but you went to visit them and they had a very mean and vicious dog chained up. Anybody ever been there? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been to where you walked in the vicinity of that dog and he made a beeline for you, and just maybe 10 feet or a certain distance, he gets snatched back and cuts a backflip, a burrito to that tiger? Or maybe it would have been lo mein, I don't know, but it definitely would have been a snack. It would have been a meal for him. And I'm telling you what, that guy, that Asian guy, I guarantee you he was glad that glass was there. And I want you to know that is a picture of what Satan is wanting to do, because the Word of God does declare that he is like a lion looking about who he could do that same thing without a glass, who he could devour. But I'm here to declare tonight by the authority of this Word, he is restrained by my God. My friends, we can be encouraged with that. I like what Spurgeon said. So it is with Satan, who is seeking to hurt us in affliction and temptation or trial. Listen to this. There is a divine restraint upon them. Whether we see it or not, the tether is there. Listen to this encouragement. Let us trust and not be afraid. God will take in the enemy a link or two if he becomes too malicious. Dread not the foe, but bless God for the chain. And I want to encourage you tonight, church. Let's praise God for the chain, because I want you to just try to paint the image that God has. Imagine that glass not being there. But imagine, this is what God is saying right here. What God is saying about the enemy is that he, even without that glass, God would bring that tiger under submission, that lion there. He would bring that under submission to where he cannot touch that fella, but also to where that Asian fella in the spiritual application could go over to that tiger and put his foot on his head, on his body, and bruise him. Why? Because God has the enemy under submission. And God will use us. How does he use us? Well, he uses us, as Paul would tell us several times, he uses our faith. He uses our faith in the Almighty, simply trusting that God will protect us, that God will put that parameter around us. He will restrain the devil from having full and absolute control over us. He will set that hedge. And this is one thing I really liked, too, that I read. So we see this picture of submission of the enemy by Satan, but he's using us and our feet. But look what this next term he uses. Shall bruise Satan under your feet. Notice that next word. Shortly. Shortly. You know, my friend, let me encourage you with this. The trials maybe that Satan is bringing into your life right now, the things that he may be trying to discourage you with, can I tell you, it's only for a short time. Remember, we talked about that in our study on spiritual warfare last year. I can't believe it's already been a year since that study. But we studied a year ago in Ephesians 6, and we talked about there would be a time of evil, and there was that gives the idea there would be a short duration. Satan would bring the wrath. Satan would bring all he had. But boy, if we held on to the armor of God and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, oh my, the victory that God will bring through us is simply amazing. You know, it is consistent with God's wisdom to permit Satan to try his people. He does allow it, as I mentioned, even with Job and even with the Lord Jesus. But listen to this statement from a man by the name of R. Haldane. He says this: Satan was for a time permitted to harass him. That's talking about the Lord Jesus. But at last he was dismissed. And get this, in like manner, churches and individual Christians are all to be tried in various ways. But, please get this, church. Y'all listening? But if they abide the trial, they shall be delivered from the temptation. And if the most emphatic and extensive sense, they shall all at last bruise Satan under their feet. So again, how can we bruise Satan? Well, God does the bruising, but we provide the feet. And we provide the feet, you know why? Because we trust in the God of peace. We trust that God loves us. God's going to take care of us. God's going to strengthen us. Even though he may let Satan tempt us in ways, in the sense of try us. But God is faithful. And he will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but yet will with the temptation also make a way to escape that we might be able to bear it. That is the word of God. That is the truth. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I rejoice that God uses us. And I want to tell you, it's done through none other characteristic than what Paul closes this up with in verse number 20 and the second part. He says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." And he says this: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." It's not done apart from the grace of God. You know, I think of 1 Peter 5:8. Let's go over there and look at that together before we close the study here. Go over there with me in your Bibles, please. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. It says here in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now get this, "whom resist," James tells us to resist too, "whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now get this, oh God be the glory, verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." That, my friends, in verse 10, is what it means to bruise Satan. It is allowing God to do his work in and through us through the trials in our life, the testings, trusting God and his peace. And we know the formula for peace: be anxious, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep you. And I believe as we are people of peace, not people of turmoil and people with discord and contentious and people of anger, and that right there is not going to bruise Satan, but a people of peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, Satan will be bruised. According to the word of God, he will be bruised. He may have a plan for this church. I don't even want to say he may. I know he does. He's got a plan for you and me and your family. And he will do everything he can. But listen, my friends, let's just focus on staying at peace with God and peace with each other. And I want to tell you what, the God of peace will take care of us. He will lead us. He will strengthen us. And we may go through some tough times. We may get knocked down and we may be hurting sometimes and going through the fire. But if you just keep your eyes on the Lord and I keep my eyes on the Lord, I'm telling you, friends, you will come through stronger and Satan will be bruised. As that is the key, keeping our eyes on the Lord. You know, I hope you feel like that Asian guy in a spiritual sense. I hope you feel like that. You may feel like Satan is just around you right now trying to devour you. But I hope you know that he is restrained by the God of peace tonight.